going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Today's broadcast is brought to you by BlackStarSurvival.com. That's a black-owned company that offers first aid kits, survival kits, body armor, and many more items that you need that's going to help you prepare and survive disasters, emergency, and much, much more. Go to BlackStarSurvival.com, ladies and gentlemen. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a real good broadcast on today's show. I need you to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and hold on tight because we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we get back, we're going to chop up some very, very good game right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Check out my dude, Kevin Derrick Gentry, a.k.a. the Boss Hog Macaroni, the relationship coach. He's offering a one-hour free phone call about getting women, stepping your game up, how to make the ladies fall in love with you, how to get respect from your peers, how to become an alpha male, and how to step your money game up. My man is real thorough with the game. You can check out his YouTube at the Boss Hog Macaroni. Also, give my dude a call at 770-946-2453. Also, try him at 404-207-5640. What's up, family? If you make music but you struggle with getting that professional sound, then you need to reach out to my guys over at LegendaryMix.com. They have the experience you need and they get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the board, their expertise is off the charts. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional audio mixing and mastering for a great price. It's simple, it's easy. Go to LegendaryMix.com right now. Send an email or text for more details and don't hesitate. Go to LegendaryMix.com.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us, follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT, Twitter at the H Report 2, and share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
Are you an employee looking to document mistreatment? Are you a citizen looking to record encounters with law enforcement officers? The 8GB voice recorder watch from recorderwatch.com may be the solution for you. Key features include voice-activated recording, time and date-stamped files, password protection, long battery life. Rely on documented audio and not your memory by heading over to recorderwatch.com and purchase the 8GB voice recorder watch today.
Get ready for the event of the year.
Let's get it. Here we go.
The Foundational Black American Conference, happening Saturday, June 20th, 2020, at the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta. Hosted by Tariq Nasheed, with special guests Professor James Small, Judge Joe Brown, Shahrazad Ali, Dr. Boyce Watkins, Riza Islam, Dr. Kaba Khamenei, and many more to be announced. This is the empowerment event you don't want to miss. Get your tickets and vending slots at FBAC2020.com. That's FBAC2020.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave a little blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Yo, we're back. How y'all doing? How are y'all doing? Can y'all hear me pretty good? We good? All right, we're back. How's everybody doing? Somebody said y'all got me on live at your office. Somebody was saying the volume is low. The volume is perfectly fine. I heard the volume, and the volume is great. The sound is great. How y'all doing? We're early today. Ready to chop up good game as we always do. I'd like to thank everybody again for getting the Hidden Colors Black History Month special. Getting that package deal. We're still sending out thousands of orders right now, so you're still going to get yours. We got a lot of backed up orders, but they're going out. We're fully stocked, so the orders are going out. So everybody, you're still going to get yours. So I've had a few people email like, hey, where's the order? We ordered a week ago. We're still sending them out. You're going to get your order. We're fully stocked, so you're going to be good to go. By the way, guys, the new Mink Slide album, that's going to be out in a few weeks, man. The new Mink Slide album is tight. We're going to be doing a video out here in L.A. next weekend, actually. Where are my L.A. people? By the way, if y'all guys want to get Hidden Colors, if you want to just get the regular package, it's at regular price. And if you want to stream Hidden Colors, you can go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com. Ladies and gentlemen, now everybody hit that like button, hit that thumbs up button, and hit the subscribe button. Yes, we do have a name for the album. We're going to be doing a video Saturday the 14th out here in LA. Where are my LA people? This is what we need. I want some of my LA folks. This time we're going to screen people this time. I want my street dancers. Where are my guys who can dance real good? My street dancers who can get down. Hit me up, man. info@tariqelite.com. Ladies, good looking ladies. Y'all want to be in the video? Come on down. Well, email first. Let me see what the hell y'all look like. Y'all can't show up looking like Lizzo, you know, with all your ass out and all that old shit. So email info@tariqelite.com if you are in LA. Oh, it's going to be popping. We're still trying to find a main video girl. The song is going to be called Guest List. That's the song we're doing the video for. And let me tell you something. Dealing with some of these Instagram video models, oh my God, that's a headache. That is a headache dealing with some of them. Because we've talked to a couple of them about being in the video. And what's interesting, some of them, boy, I guess because they're used to dealing with thirsty niggas in their DMs every day, boy, they get this real crazy inflated sense of self-worth. It's really crazy. Oh my God, boy, they got some delusions of grandeur. Some of these damn Instagram people, oh my God, their demands, dude, it's like, are you for real? Are you serious? Some of these women are ridiculous. What are y'all telling these Instagram chicks? Well, y'all really got them feeling themselves, man. Oh, my God. What are y'all niggas telling these? Because I don't really deal with these folks. I don't deal with them. But right now, we're just trying to get like a main chick for the video. And ladies, if you out there, hey, we're paying, you know, somebody said get my wife. No, I'm going to get her in another video. Because that's the thing. I'm like looking at some of these video models and they telling me all these crazy prices. I'm like, I'm thinking my wife is finer than you. I get my wife for free to do the damn video. My wife is finer than all of you. I can get her to do it. I'm like, what kind of crazy fucking prices are you demanding? She's going to be in another video. But in this video, we're going to have somebody else. Oh, God. And you know what's interesting? A lot of these Instagram models, they're giving us the flued out prices, the prices that they be giving niggas to fly them to Dubai and all that shit. No, this ain't the same thing. A lot of these damn quote unquote Instagram models be getting flued out. You know, they're used to dealing with tricks in Dubai and Saudi Arabia, and they're giving me the flued out prices. I'm like, no. Are you insane? No. Don't give me the fluid out prices. Good Lord. They're so used to dealing with tricks, they think everything is like a trick hoe situation or something. Like, no. So y'all, I don't know what y'all telling these women, but boy, y'all are really, really pumping them the hell up. Good Lord. But look, ladies, all my LA ladies, if you're in LA and you look good, we need a lead, and you got to act because we're going to have some acting scenes in here. So this is a good look. And we paying, so shit, we paying reasonable. I mean, shit, we're very reasonable. Some of the shit that these folks are asking for, like thousands of dollars to be, I'm like, hell no. Fuck out of here. Aren't dimes, yeah, we got dimes in LA, but dude, y'all don't understand the mentality out here. A lot of folks really don't know. people really don't know the mentality out here because a lot of these girls be on Instagram and it's funny, man. Look, it's harder than what you think because we're trying to get some sisters to be in this thing. But again, a lot of these people think they're some type of other exotic mix. A lot of them are bed wenches. I've had some, we've done videos before. We tried to invite some sisters and they had their white zaddies wanting to show up. Or can my dude come? My dude wants to come. I'm like, oh Lord. And then their white zaddy is making all types of demands. I'm like, oh hell no. Fuck, just get that 12 years of slave bullshit out of here. We ain't doing none of that. It's crazy out here. Folks don't understand. Another thing. We're going through some of the modeling casting websites too. And another thing is we're getting submissions for the video and you're getting a lot of transsexuals who are submitting their information as women because we're looking for women to be in the video and you got a bunch of trans people who are clearly trans but they're classifying themselves as women and it's clearly dudes. It's crazy, dude. I'm telling y'all. It's crazy as fuck out here, man. It's crazy that we didn't have a couple of them submit their information. I'm looking at the picture. I'm like, wait a minute. That motherfucker got a bikini with a bulge in it. Wait a minute. This ain't that kind of video. Oh, goodness. But look, anyway, I'm reaching out to the family. If you're in LA and somebody's serious, they want to come through. They got the look. They look good. And we kind of want a certain look. Because, you know, LA, we got a lot of generic looking people. There's a very generic look out here. And I don't want that. I don't want that. I want a specific look. So email me if you're out here, ladies, and we're paying. So make you a few dollars for the day. Just a few hours work. info@tariqelite.com. info@tariqelite.com. You dig? Yeah, we got to let you know, this is not a Malik Yoba video, and no disrespect. This is not a Tevin Campbell video. No disrespect to that. We're going in another direction in this video, as they say in Hollywood. We're going to go in another direction. Yeah, if there's a bulge somewhere, that's not, you know, we're not really working with that energy at the moment. I'm going to be very professional about it. Yeah, we're not working with that type of, that energy at the moment. We're that energy is not working for us right now. We're looking for something else. We're going to go in another direction. Opposite of bussy. You dig? Oh, but my email is info@tariqelite.com. info@tariqelite.com. And again, we want some dances too. I mean street dancing. When I say dancing, I don't want a motherfucker to come up with some leotards on and some ballet shoes. No, we want some street dances. I want to emphasize that. Fellas, don't send me no fucking pictures of you doing some splits in the air. We're going to go in another direction with that, okay? We appreciate your submission. But the splits in the air thing, we're going to probably do that on another endeavor. But right now, we're going to go in another direction from the splits in the air and the male twerking. We have another vision, okay? We see another vision, but I hope there's other opportunities. I'll pass your information over to Lil Nas X, and maybe you can go in that direction. But over here, we're doing something a little bit different. So you got to be professional. See, that's why you be professional with it. But again, info@tariqelite.com, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, let's talk about, and hit the thumbs up button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit the subscribe button. This coronavirus thing is getting real heavy. In certain states, they're issuing state of emergencies because of this coronavirus that has come out of Asia. I think it has come out of China. This coronavirus is scaring a lot of people. A lot of people in certain states, it seems like over here, it has come here, and it's concentrated in certain states. Some parts of California, a lot up there in the state of Washington, a lot of people have died in the state of Washington because of the coronavirus. I think there's a couple of cases in New York. So it's very, it's concentrated in certain states. In parts of Europe, I know in Italy, it's like 400 folks got it in like one day, I think. It's crazy up there. And in China and all these different places. So this coronavirus, it's a very interesting thing because not too many black people appear to be getting this thing. Now, from what I understand, there's only one black person that I know of who has it. Well, they said that there's this Nigerian soccer player who's up there in Italy. They say he has it and he's been quarantined. I don't know if he recovered. There was a black man in China who had it, but he recovered very fast, so he doesn't have it no more. You understand? So there's something very interesting about this coronavirus, man. It looks like it's not affecting black people as severely as it's affecting whites and Asians. Now, I know there's been a couple of reports. The white supremacists, they'll like to mix in truth with falsehoods. There was a story about the guy I just mentioned in China who had it, and they had his information on a lot of fake news sites, and they were saying stuff about how black people are predisposed to be immune to the thing, and a lot of people saying that was fake news. But the white supremacists are very good with mixing truth with falsehoods. The falsehood is they didn't say that openly. The truth is the brother did get it, but he did recover. That's true. Now, when they talk about the coronavirus being in Africa, going to Africa, a few days ago, I talked about many articles the experts are acting confused why the virus hasn't hit Africa as severely as it has hit other places. The experts were confused, and this was very interesting language they were using. It almost sounded like they were disappointed that it wasn't hitting Africa the way they wanted it to hit Africa. Now, when you hear about the 3 or 4 cases in Africa of the coronavirus, because they'll say, yeah, we got to go protect Africa because there has already been 3 cases of the coronavirus in Africa. They say there was one in Egypt, there was one in Algeria, and there was one in Nigeria. Okay? What they're not telling you is those 3 people who got infected were not black. The people who got infected who are in Africa, they're not black. The dude in Egypt, I think he was Chinese. He was a Chinese guy. The other guy in Algeria, he was a white dude from Italy. And the guy in Nigeria was another tourist from Italy. So these are not black people getting it. See, they'll say Africa and you'll assume that it's some Africans getting it. Y'all look up what I'm saying. The people that they're talking about who has it, they're not black, guys. These are not black people who have it. Nobody black in Africa has it. You understand? So something is going on with this thing. Yeah, it's non-black people getting this thing. This is interesting. This is very interesting. So we got to ask the question, are we immune to this thing? we got to really ask some questions. Do we have an immunity? I'm starting to think there's some cadence to that. We might be immune to this thing. And this is why they're throwing out that state of emergency in certain states. Yeah, yeah. They're not telling you that. They're not telling you that the people in Africa who got it aren't black. They're not telling you that. See, they always got to try to put a black face on a disease or any kind of plague or anything like that. They always got to put a black face on it, just like with AIDS and all this, but they can't. They're trying to. This is why, notice, all these other non-black people are getting this damn coronavirus, but they keep talking about, well, we got to go to Africa. Notice that? Notice how they keep saying how much they got to go to Africa? Nobody black in Africa has it. So why the hell do they keep focusing on Africa? They keep trying to somehow work Africa or black folks in this thing. You understand? This thing, man, what you got, white supremacy, systematic white supremacy is very delicate. And any little thing can shift the tides. Anything can shift the tides. And I've talked about before how there have been airborne diseases that skip over black folks and hit them. Out there on the East Coast, I talked about that the other day, how there are airborne diseases that will skip over black people and hit the white communities. And it's been like that for a long time. Let's go back into slavery, places like Gullah Island over there in South Carolina. The reason why many of the Gullah people were able to retain a lot of their language is because many of them were on those Gullah Islands by themselves because of the tropical atmosphere and the mosquitoes and things. A lot of whites couldn't really survive over there like that. Some could, but a lot of them couldn't. So black people were pretty much left alone to a certain degree. So they were able to communicate with each other in their own languages. They were able to plot and plan. This is why a lot of those rebellions kind of came out of South Carolina. Those Gullah Geechees. You understand? So certain diseases will hit them that won't hit us. Just like in Haiti, during the Haitian Revolution, they used the mosquitoes. They would let festering water and bodies lay out so that mosquitoes would come through and it would attack the French, and the French would die because of the mosquito bites. But the black people in Haiti, they were immune, and they knew they were immune. You understand? We're immune to a lot of shit, man. We've been on this fucking planet for millions of years. So you don't get to be on a planet that damn long and your body adjusts to things. You understand what I'm saying? This is what they don't like to tell you. It's the people in the dominant society. They are the sickly people. They are way more sickly. This is why they're always studying our damn bodies, studying our melanin, studying our DNA, trying to get our organs. This is why. You understand? Everybody hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. Hit that thumbs up button. So, with this coronavirus seemingly skipping over a lot of black people and it's hitting white people and Asian people and all that, now they're issuing states of emergency. Like, uh-oh, this is a problem. Now, really, only a handful of people have died, but the fact that they've issued a state of emergency, it's like, hey, wait a minute. When something is hitting white people only, we gotta, us white folks, and you gotta understand code words. And why they're issuing a state of emergency. White people are like, wait a minute now. Too many of us start dropping off dead. We're going to lose power. See, they see danger right when it's at the door or right when it's down the street. They see danger. They see potential danger. They're saying, hey, if this becomes a problem, we can't have that. We can't have no damn disease knocking us off like this. So we got to see what the hell is going on. You understand? And right now, they're bringing back the yellow peril. Because now, the white supremacists, white society, they're looking at the Asians funny now. Now they're going back to the return of the Yellow Peril. Now, what's that? Back in the day, decades ago, the United States, they had something called the Yellow Peril, meaning there was this big propaganda fear-mongering of people from Asia coming over, taking over Western society. So they were showing the Asians as these violent, animalistic terrorists who are going to come over and kill the women and rape the kids and just kind of take over Western society, white society. So that Yellow Peril thing, and this is why, you know, that helped them justify putting the Asians and the Japanese in those internment camps. And we got to remember, up until the 1960s, the Yellow Peril was very real. It was black people who really fought for the rights of Asians to help get them over here. And it was black people who supported a lot of things that the Asians were doing, like those karate movies and all that shit. That was us. And when they came over here, it was black people supporting their businesses. We became their economic base because we saw them as a marginalized other. So we could relate to that. So we thought, okay, this is another brother in the struggle. But once they got their weight up, they said, hey, you know, we're honorary Asians. I mean, we're honorary Aryans. Once they got their weight up, they started taking on the characteristics of the white supremacists. Once we helped lift them and elevate them, and when they were brought over here, the Yellow Peril thing, and again, the white supremacists, they orchestrate all this stuff. They stopped with the Yellow Peril, and then they started using the model minority myth. The minute we helped them get over here, the white supremacists pulled them to the side and said, hey, you know all that Yellow Peril stuff we were doing, demonizing you in the media, showing you as Fu Manchu, as the goofy Asian with the chopsticks and the big teeth and all these stereotypes we had of you. Now we're going to change that. Now that you're around black people, we don't want you to get together with them. So now we're going to say that you're the model minority. So we're going to help fund your businesses. We're going to help elevate you over these Negroes to say, hey, look, how come you niggas don't do as good as these Asians? How come you don't do better than them? They came over here with $2 and they're doing better than you. Wink, wink. And that's because the white supremacists helped them. But they don't tell you that. Because understand this. And I want black folks to understand, because we beat ourselves up. Black businesses are sabotaged. I want black folks to understand this. Black people, we're the only people, when we start businesses and we're successful, we are always, always, always somehow low-key sabotaged by the white supremacists. They do not sabotage other groups like they sabotage us. Remember, dude, I've talked to so many black business owners. The minute they get something popping, all of a sudden they're getting fined for noise ordinances, smoke ordinances. Look at what they were doing to the Turkey Leg Hut down there in Texas. The white people got together and they were plotting and planning to file these bogus lawsuits on these black people with a successful business, and they got found out. Look at what they do. There's a brother in Detroit recently. He has like an exotic zoo. It's a black dude, has a successful business with exotic animals. The white supremacists, they're plotting on him, sabotaging his business, saying that he has animal cruelty. He's not taking care of the animals. They didn't took his kangaroo and killed his kangaroo. They're sabotaging this brother over there in Detroit right now. Look at the honeypot business. There's a sister who has like a feminine product business called Honeypot, like natural things for feminine care. And she did a commercial like, hey, you know, I'm a proud black girl this, black girl magic and all this, talking about how proud she is being a black business owner. And she got her stuff in Target. Do you know that, you know that white people were deliberately on Target and all these Yelp sites leaving bad reviews for this sister? Talking about it's reverse racism because she's talking about being a proud black business owner. These demonic, dirty ass white supremacists were talking about that's some damn reverse racism. So they were trying to sabotage this sister's business because she got her joint up there in Target. So they're trying to shit on her just because. And I heard her products are good. They always do that. Anytime black progress starts happening, going back to Tulsa, They had to sabotage that. All those black millionaires out there. Wilmington. Boy, they had to run all the black business owners out of town. They did that with Ida B. Wells' friends. All her successful black business owner friends, they were lynched. Remember, a lot of black people who were lynched were business owners. See, this is why we got to be on code and be in a position where we have to protect our people. Like our brother Nipsey. And I still believe to this day, Nipsey was targeted and killed, and it was orchestrated by the police. I still believe that to this day because of the business moves that brother was making. I still believe that to this day, and I stand on that shit. See, they tell you, well, it's just gangbanging, and you live the life. That's how you live. That's slave talk. That's coon, scared, nigga slave talk. We got to understand when these white supremacists are orchestrating this stuff. Just like with Malcolm X. Again, when you look at that documentary, Who Killed Malcolm X, you could see it was the police, the FBI, all of these people were orchestrating the shit where Malcolm got killed. They'll put a black face on it. They'll go get a coon and protect the coon and then have y'all saying, well, damn, man, we just got to do better. It's that coon that they've co-opted and they're working for the white supremacists. So we always have to look at the people orchestrating the shit. Always look at the people orchestrating it. Now, we know that in the Malcolm X situation, the coon who shot him, they protected him out there in New Jersey. He died of old age, and he was protected by the system. But we have to look at people who's running the system. We got to look at that. That's why with the Nipsey Hussle situation, the Eric Holder shit, no. It's a bigger play than that. I don't think it's just him. I ain't going to just look at him. I'm going to look at the whole picture. You understand? So when we have black people doing business, see, we got to start getting on code and making sure that they're good, making sure they're protected, just like the turkey leg hut. I like the fact that we all got on code and we protected that business. We started to show the people who are orchestrating the sabotage of that business. And then it failed. See, once you start protecting these people and you start seeing what they're doing and you start calling them out, then we can start doing business like we're supposed to do business. But this is why we got to get on code with protecting each other. When we see black businesses, you got to get off that hate shit. We can't start thinking like the white supremacists. See, niggas want to be honorary white supremacists and start hating on black business owners because they see white mommy and white daddy doing so. Now, we got to protect these folks. We have to protect our black business owners. Get that hate shit out of your system. Because a lot of folks got this thing where they see somebody black doing business, you know, you want to be a de facto white supremacist and kind of sabotage them your damn self. We got to, no. That mentality has to go. There's somebody, they're putting the links up to the honeypot in the chat room. That's right. Y'all do that. Again, when I started doing the Hidden Colors series, when I did the Hidden Colors franchise and that became successful and I did it independently without any major studio and the films are outselling films by major Hollywood studios, then that's when my house start getting fucking raided and I get banned from a whole fucking country. You see that? This is how serious they are about sabotaging anything that's black and successful and independent. You understand? But y'all gotta support the honeypots and all of these people out there. Support them and make sure they're good. You dig? But again, going back to the model minority myth that they like to promote with the Asians. See, a lot of Asians fell for that model minority, and a lot of them thought that they were going to be honorary Aryans, and they get to dump on us. And as we've been seeing lately, we've been seeing the honorary Aryans beating up sisters in nail salons and beauty supply stores. We've seen the Peter Liangs kill our brothers and sisters, and the Asian community get together and support the murder of black folks. The whole Asian community got out there promoting and protecting Peter Liang after he killed Akai Gurley. We have a lot of Asians who are joining the alt-right. Richard Spencer and all these alt-right dudes. It's a bunch of Asians rocking with them. The Tila Tequila, remember her, that little big waterhead-ass chick? You know, you remember her? She's up there throwing Nazi symbols up there with Richard Spencer. Oh, they thought it was cute. Another wannabe white supremacist Asian who works for the Daily Caller. He's always trolling me. Ian Miles Chong or something like that, some goofball. See, they thought they were honorary Aryans. Oh, they thought they were honorary Aryans. They're running with the alt-right. I mean, they're throwing up the little swastika signs and the white power signs. And who was that hopper? Those hoppers who's out there raping black women, that Asian, half white dude out there raping all those sisters, that cop. Michelle Malkin, who's always talking greasy about black folks. She's a Filipino. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was all good times. Elliot Rogers, another hopper who's an Asian / white dude who was talking greasy about black folks and then he went on a serial killing spree and a mass killing spree. Oh, it was all good times when, you know, y'all thought y'all were in there with white mommy, white daddy. But now this coronavirus hit and all of a sudden the white folks are coughing and acting funny style once they get around you. Now they're going to start trying to implementing some bans on some Asian countries now. So now, yeah, Daniel Holzclaw, that's his name. So now that white society is starting to turn on a lot of Asians because of this coronavirus, now I'm seeing a lot of Asians over here looking at black folks like, hey, brother, racism is real. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't come over here now. Don't come over here with us wanting us to help you fight racism. No. Oh, no. It's hold your own nuts time, buddy. Oh, no, you don't. Don't come over here talking about, oh, look at this racism. Oh, my God, black people, I understand what you are talking about. No, 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 no. Don't come over here with us. Oh, no, hold your own nuts. Don't you bring your ass over here with us. They're going to ban my cousin from coming over. Well, damn. Well, what you going to do about it? What would Martin Luther King do? Martin Luther King tell you to hold your own nuts. That's what he would tell you. Don't come over here with that bullshit. Oh, Lord, no. Don't come over here now. Oh, because they're about to start implementing some bans now. They about to fuck with y'all little money. And now all of a sudden, now you are downtrodden minority now. Now y'all want to play the... No, you are honorary whites. A lot of y'all classify yourselves as white. A lot of Asians classify themselves as white. Now, you ain't white no more. They're letting you know. And now you're looking at black folks like, please, help me. No, you better... I'm going to help you hold them nuts and hold them tight. You understand? Because, oh, what's that? We can't do nothing for you. No, 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 no. I can't help you because I'm over here helping the sister that you beat up in the beauty supply store. You understand? I'm over here helping Akai Gurley's family. You understand? So you getting banned. I don't know where this music is coming from. It's some music coming from somewhere. But now they're going to start banning some of y'all from coming over here. And I wish I could help, but I don't know where this music is coming from. Where's this music coming from? This music, where is this coming from? There's a glitch somewhere. It's a glitch somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from. But yeah, somebody said, hold your own bat soup. Yeah, don't look at us. Do not look at us. See, that's the thing. We're not going to have that shit where black folks get shit on. Everybody they have a good old time shitting on us. And then when it's their turn, they want to come over here and then walk over here as our downtrodden brother in the struggle. No, stay your ass right over there. We're looking out for foundational black Americans. We're looking out for foundational black Americans, and we're going to stay on that vibe. And that goes for all you groups that be on the bullshit. Some of y'all Negro foreigners, you too, Some of y'all going to have to hold your own nuts, too, because they starting to ban some of these other countries. And hey, don't look at us. Brother, Pan-Africanism. No, no, no. You weren't no Pan-Africanism. We were all types of goddamn Akatas right before the ban came through. The minute we were Akatas and lazy niggas. And then when they start banning your ass, all of a sudden, we, Marcus Garvey, listen to Marcus Garvey, my nigga. No, no, no. No, no, no. Hold your own nuts too, Umbugu. Because did y'all see the video of the coon, immigrant coon who spit on the sister on the bus? Out there in New York, there's this bus driver. He's Nigerian, I think. And from what I understand, this bus driver, he has a history of doing shit like that. Somebody sent me another video of this guy, this Nigerian bus driver. He has a history of talking shit to black folks on the bus and jumping bad on folks. I've seen another video of him talking shit to an older black lady. So this driver has a problem with black folks. And he got into it with this sister. She got off the bus and he ran off the bus and spit in her face. I'm like, God damn, dude. So I think he got fired and he was in the news Jollof-splaining. Hold on, let me play this dude who spit on the sister and they had him on the news, you know, crying and splaining. Hold on 1 second. Hold on, hold on. Listen to this dude. Hold on.
Married father from Nigeria tells me in this exclusive interview, this cell phone video only tells part of the story, saying he too was assaulted.
I want to apologize to my daughter. I want to apologize to all my friends. I want to apologize to my friend because that's not the person I am.
Saturday afternoon, the
he was Jollof. He's crying, and he ain't bad now. Boy, he got
on with her two kids and.
And all that bad talk. He ain't doing all that bad talk no more. His ass got fired. Now he got a lot of humbleness. I want to apologize to my brother. I want to apologize to my sister. I want to apologize. That nigga was Jollof-splaining heavy, but yeah, he shouldn't have spit on that sister. That was fucked up. Don't spit on the chick. Oh, yeah, all the bass is gone. All the bass is gone. Let me tell you something out there in New York. Let me tell you. See, some of those, they send a lot of immigrant coons over here. And remember New York and the East Coast? It was really a lot of those immigrant coons who were the ones driving them cabs and not picking niggas up. Remember there was a whole thing about cab drivers not picking up black folks? Most of those cab drivers were those Negro immigrant coons from the Caribbean and fucking Africa. Let's be real. Most of those coon ass drivers of them taxis who weren't picking niggas up, it was them. Those were the ones who, I got to know that passenger up that street. It was them niggas. They'd drive over your ass and go pick up some white folks. It was them niggas doing that. I went to apologize. It was them niggas. Let's be real. They've always been on that dumb shit. They've always been on that bullshit. They've always been on that. Let's keep it a buck. They've always had this contempt and this vitriol. And just spitting on somebody like that, that shows contempt. That shows contempt when you spit on somebody like that. You understand? But they've always been on that bullshit. This is why when Uber and Lyft and all that came through, that really fucked up their little grind. Yeah, that really fucked their little grind up. So now we don't need the asses no more. I love Lyft and, that's the greatest thing ever created. Lyft and Uber, greatest thing ever created. I remember going to New York. Man, I would be waiting on taxis before Uber and Lyft. I remember I would go out there to do the Hidden Colors when we started doing the first Hidden Colors. I remember it was freezing out there. I'm waiting out there 20, 30 minutes. Cabs just passing me by nonstop. I'm like, God damn. Boy, that's the one thing I used to hate about New York. Now I'm good. Now I love it. I just call my Uber, my Lyft, and I'm good to damn go. You dig? Yeah, black people made Uber. Yes, we did make Uber pop off. That was a godsend for us. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of New York, you know, they had something about the St. Patrick's Parade out there. They had this chick, this white girl, Miss Staten Island. She was going to be a part of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And what she did, she came out talking about she's bisexual. So the Irish community out there, they were like, well, she can't be a part of the parade. We don't want her to be a part of the Staten Island St. Patrick's Day Parade because we ain't no, you know, we don't want no LGBT agenda. This ain't about no sexuality. This is about Irish heritage only. So all that shit she's talking, she's going to have to go. I want y'all to Google this story, and I want y'all to understand the white Irish community, they said no to their LGBT agenda. Then we're not going to focus on that at all. And nobody's calling them homophobic. Nobody's calling the white Irish community homophobic because they said they don't want that LGBT shit over there with their parade. Nobody's calling them homophobic. A few weeks ago, the Jewish community, they put out a press conference or statement saying it was a certain Jewish community. They said, hey, look, all that LGBT history shit, y'all not teaching that in our schools. Let's just be very clear. We're not teaching LGBT history in our school. They just came out and put out a press release and said, okay, that's what it is. Nobody's calling them homophobic. Nobody. This is why I keep telling people this homophobia bullshit, it's a thing that they use to attack black people. We're the only group that they try to beat over the head with that. No matter what we do, they label us homophobic, and we're not excluding anybody from no schoolwork or any type of parades. We're not doing that because we don't even have that type of power. But they try to beat us up and shame us and call us homophobic, and that's an unfounded claim. We got to start standing up to that because that's a white supremacist tactic. I keep telling people, stop letting these white LGBT people throw that homophobia label on us. That's inherently racist for them to do that. That's a white supremacist tactic that they're using when they do that. We have to call that out. Black people, you got to stop being afraid of the white LGBT community. We got to start calling them out on their bullshit. For some reason, black people are very afraid of the white LGBT community because they control a lot of jobs, especially in the entertainment industry. They control a lot of nonprofits that black people be working for. Stop being afraid of them and call them out for their bullshit, man. The white LGBT community are some of the most vile anti-black racists you can ever imagine. So you got to start calling them out for that. And stop letting them throw that homophobia thing on us, because that's we're the only ones they use that on. And I keep telling people what they're doing now. They're saying you're homophobic, and they're directing this at black people. If you don't let a trans man rape you, then that means you're homophobic. See, that's how they do us. If you don't allow yourself to be raped by a dude, or women, if you don't let no stud run up on you, or women, if you don't want to be a black woman, if you don't want to be with a bisexual dude, then they're going to label you homophobic. See, they try to force sexuality on black people. If we try to get in a situation where we want to procreate, I want y'all to think about this. Black people who want to be in a relationship where they can procreate, notice how that's being criminalized? I want you to think about this. When black people say, I want to be in a relationship where I can procreate, that's being criminalized. They're telling you, you're violating the civil rights of LGBT people by not dating them. They're telling black people this shit. They're saying, if you don't want to date a trans person, well, that's just like racism. That's like a white person saying they don't want to date a black person. They're telling you bullshit like that. They're telling you, if you don't want to be raped, well, then that's some type of civil rights bigotry. And what they do, when they label you phobic, homophobic, transphobic, biphobic, or whatever, when they label black people one of these phobics, there's always an or else or a punishment that comes with it. See, that's the thing. They can punish us with shit. if we allow them to, they say, okay, we're going to label you homophobic. And if you're homophobic, then we're not going to let you host the Oscars, Kevin Hart. We're not going to let you get a job. We're not going to let you come to Planet Fitness, Lil Bootsy, because you said something about Dwayne Wade's son. So we're not going to let you in. There's always some kind of punishment, some type of deprivation that they're going to implement on us if we don't go along with their program. Notice that? Watch the labeling and see, they have punishments for their labels. So when they try to punish black people who want to be in a relationship where they can procreate, and they try to punish you for that, there's a name for that. That's called eugenics. Family, that's called eugenics. We're going to stop you from procreating by coming up with all these little convoluted laws and I'm white and I say so policies. This is what they're doing. And like I told you guys, the trans community, all this trans stuff, it goes in from transsexual to transgender to transhuman. All these people into the transhumanism movement, and the transhumanism movement is an offshoot of the eugenics movement. I've been telling people this. I want y'all to start tying all this stuff together. Look at the soft genocide. It's all connected. And the eugenics movement was all about stopping black people from procreating. And again, what they're trying to do, they're trying to break us spiritually, psychologically, physically. They're doing all types of stuff to break us. And this is why they're trying to desperately usher in pedophilia and normalize it to us. See, we're the only group who rejects that all outright. And now what they tried to do, they were trying to implement it in all of society, and they see that as backfiring. There are so many cases now where they are undoing some of those laws where they're going to have these genderless bathrooms because so many kids are now getting raped by these damn dudes at schools. There was a school somewhere. I posted this on my on my Twitter the other day. At some little school, they had a genderless bathroom and some little girl then got molested by an 18-year-old student. And they didn't even charge the dude. They didn't even charge the student. They just kind of reprimanded him a little bit, but this is the kind of filth that's going on. And watch the stuff that's happening. I saw something where they had, speaking of trans, they had some type of android pedophile where this is what they're going to do. This is how they're trying to usher this stuff in. They use the word trans. Trans can mean transhuman, transsexual, transgender, transracial, transage. See, the white supremacists are very good with words. They're very manipulative with words. So once they get one word that's accepted, they can attach other things to that word. Once they say trans people should be protected by civil rights, so that means transgender, transsexual, transracial, that means we're going to get some racial dolezals out here who can say that, well, I'm black now because I feel black in my mind because I'm a man or I'm a woman because I feel like a man or woman in my mind. So now I deserve civil rights protections that black folks fought for that they're not getting, but those rights are going to go to me. Watch the mind fuck and the manipulation that they do. So now they're going to start going from transracial, transsexual to trans age. That's when they're going to try to usher in that pedophilia. I'm telling y'all, that's going to come in high numbers too. Trans age. I identify as an 8-year-old because a white man tried to do that. He was a pedophile. He went to court. He tried to use the, well, hell, since everybody's trans, hell, I'm a trans age person. I identify. Yeah, I was fucking with kids, but I identify as a kid, so I should go. It didn't work that time, but they just have to tweak some things. They'll make it happen because what they're going to do now, I'm telling y'all, they're going to start doing these little android dolls. Y'all know they got these sex dolls. That these human looking sex dolls with women, they got them. You knew they were promoting that real heavy. these transhuman sex dolls, what they're going to do now, they're going to have transhuman sex dolls made with children. They're going to have children dolls that these white men are in relationships with. So technically, because it's not a real kid, it's not really pedophilia. This is how they're going to try to do it. I'm telling y'all, this is where it's going. They got these kids dolls that they're going to openly be out here molesting and fondling, but it ain't a real kid. So it's not a real kid. They're already doing it. Look this stuff up. Look up the pedophile doll. They're already doing this stuff. These folks are insane. These folks are going there with this shit. Black folks, we gotta challenge that shit from top to bottom. These folks are sick with their shit, man. Because, you know, these white pedophiles, they out here doing raping infants. They're doing all types of stuff and they're getting slaps on the wrist. But black people, if we have heterosexual relationships or encounters, that's being criminalized. Did y'all see what they were doing to Tavis Smiley? Tavis Smiley just went to court, and I think it was a civil court, and he has to pay PBS like $1.5 million because they said he broke the morality clause because he was having like sexual relationships with the women at the job. Now, they couldn't claim it was rape because it was all consensual, so they did some old I'm white and I say so. Well, he shouldn't have had sexual relations with the women because it was morally wrong. Says who? Morally wrong. Who says who? White dudes have relationships with people they work with and people who work for them all the time. So he had sexual relationships with, and he was single, with women. So they said it was morally wrong. So now he owes money. What kind of bullshit is that? And they said because of the power dynamic, because he was in an authoritative position and they were subordinates, technically, it could not be consensual because of the power dynamic. I mean, they really twisted logic to come up with that bullshit. So if we use their logic that Tavis Smiley is guilty of morally subjugating women, I don't know how they're trying to justify this. Well, all black people have raped men. If a black person has sex with a white person in a system of white supremacy where we are subordinate, every situation is a situation of rape or sexual disadvantage. Neely Fuller tells us this. He tells us that a white person in a system of white supremacy having sex with a black person is almost like child molestation because black people are in a childlike state under the system of white supremacy. So that is true. So we need to use that logic and apply it to white supremacy if they're going to do that. See, they always change the rules when it comes to us. And again, heterosexual relationships, they have to find ways to criminalize it. Notice they don't do that with gay black dudes in Hollywood. Trust me, they pass these gay black dudes down left and right. They pass these niggas around left and right. You don't never hear about no morality clause. Morality clause in Hollywood? They got whole pedophile rings in Hollywood. Morality clause? When have you ever heard that shit? Nigga, they got casting couches all over Hollywood. That's all they do, being their fucking actresses and all that. That's all they do, these white dudes. And somebody said, Don Lemon, you think Don Lemon ain't getting flued out? My God. Well, John Lemon, it was somebody, a white dude, he wasn't in the industry, but a white dude is trying to get a bag out of Don Lemon because Don Lemon tried, I think Don Lemon diddled his bussy and the white man is trying to get a bag and the bag wasn't big enough. So yeah, Don Lemon got to get off that bussy bag because he diddled a white man. You dig? It's crazy out here. See, we got to be on top of our game. We really got to be on top of our game. We got to be on top of our game sexually, business-wise. And ladies out here, when y'all out here twerking and popping your ass and all that, y'all better be about some business. It reminds me of Megan Thee Stallion. Shout out to Megan Thee Stallion. I like Megan Thee Stallion. But Megan Thee Stallion, she was complaining about how she was trying to renegotiate her contract. She was saying that the independent label she signed with, they're being unfair. They didn't want to negotiate the contract because You know, she signed a janky deal, as she put it. And she filed a lawsuit, and she threw Jay Prince's name in there. So Jay Prince, you know, that's an OG. He put out a statement today, and he said some real shit. Now, Megan's deal, it's like a 60-40 deal, which 40% is actually very good for a new artist. But I think it's 40% of everything. I mean, 40% of her show money, her record sales. So, you know, 40% ain't bad. 40% is not bad. It's a pretty fair deal if you look at it, because most artists, you don't get 40%. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs and the particulars of the deal. But Jay Prince said something to the effect of, you know, when a lot of new artists are out here, it's us independent guys, you know, we take the risk, which is true. You take the risk of a new artist and build them up and, you know, get them hot in the streets, and you get them hot. So you're doing the initial investments. You're doing the studio time. They ain't got that money. You're promoting for them. You're out here grinding and making them hot. And once they get hot, then the majors want to come along and get a piece of that action. You dig? So, you know, a lot of independent guys are like, you know, we're not going to let the majors come in and just try to run shit and just kind of tell us what they're going to renegotiate after we done all the hard work to build this artist up. So I get that. We got to understand contracts. And there are a lot of artists who get disgruntled because, you know, once that independent cat got them hot and the majors are starting to look at them and trying to get down, you know, now they feel a certain way. But you better handle that beforehand. You better look at your future beforehand. A lot of people, they're so desperate to get on, they'll sign anything. So you just got to know how to do business. Don't go into the game thirsty. A lot of folks go in thirsty. I think Megan said she only got like a $10,000 advance and all this stuff. Well, you know, you better watch what you sign. If you get a low advance like that, watch what you sign. Don't sign no deal that's going to last for hella long. If you get a deal like that where you're only getting 10 stacks, you sign that shit for like, you know, let's do a 2-year contract or something. After the 2 years, we free and clear. Know how to do business. Some of y'all be going in here thirsty. Y'all popping your ass and popping your pussy. You know, put your pussy and ass up for a minute and read the contract. You dig? And Jay Prince was like, hey, don't put my name in this bullshit. Yeah, we're not going to do that. That's real shit. Anyway, what else is happening out here, family? Yeah, hit that thumbs up button. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. We here making it pop off. They're still trying to, the politicians are trying to get black folks to vote and trying to get black folks to get on this Democrat train, and we're not doing it. A lot of these politicians are talking about the black vote, this, the black vote, that. You know, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are, you know, competing with each other. They're not going to win against Trump. They're trying to pretend that black folks are somehow support, young black folks were supporting Bernie, older black folks supporting Joe Biden. I mean, no, ain't nobody fucking with them. Nobody's fucking with them like that. The old Jim Crow Negro vote doesn't matter like that. They have not galvanized young black folks because there is nothing on the table for us, and we're not going for it. We're just not going for it, and they're desperate right now. They're very desperate right now. And they're trying to shame people. How come y'all ain't voting? No, I tell people this. I'm studying voting. Just like y'all study reparations, well, I'm studying voting. I'm studying the importance of voting. That's what I'm doing. I'm studying voting. I'm studying whether it's important to vote or not. That's what I'm doing. I'm studying voting. And with Bernie had something where they had Public Enemy at a rally. And I got to talk to Chuck and those guys and see what's going on. And Flav didn't want to do it. And I think Chuck put him out the group. I don't know what I don't really want to speak on that because I know these dudes. So I got to talk to them to see what's really going on. I got to see what's really going on. So But nevertheless, ain't nobody rocking with no Bernie Sanders. Ain't nobody really rocking with Joe Biden. Did y'all see what happened at the Joe Biden rally? I forgot where they were, where they had these protesters run up on stage behind Joe Biden. And then Simone Sanders, that's the chick, the, is she a stud? She looks LGBT. She has the little short haircut. You know, she talks a lot of mammy talk. Simone Sanders ran up on stage looking like Donovan McNabb, tackling some of those protesters, and Joe Biden's wife grabbed one of them. And it looked very staged to me, because I'm like, Joe Biden, I mean, this dude wouldn't just be up there without his security. Where the hell is his security? He didn't have no security, and they run up on him like that. That looked kind of staged, because Joe Biden is always trying to get some kind of struggle credentials. He's always trying to pretend that he struggled in the civil rights, or he struggled in South Africa. He's always lying about some shit. So this gives him some struggle credentials. He can say, well, I was almost attacked, and the women protected me, and a black woman protected me. So now he could use this as his struggle credentials. But just the fact that she ran up there looking like a goddamn linebacker on some mammy, who, oh, Lord, don't you touch master now. She ran up there tackling motherfuckers. And it was some real weird protesters. It was some dairy protesters. So it looked very staged, guys. It looked very staged. They can play this off like, look how black folks are put their life on the line to support me. Look at my niggers. My niggers love me so much, they're tackling people if they try to get me. This is how much they love Massa. And Roland Martin, oh my God. Have y'all seen Roland Martin on Twitter? Roland is out here so desperate for a job. Roland is damn near begging for a damn job, guys. Roland's bussy is wide open on Twitter. Roland is shamelessly out here begging for jobs. See, if you hire me, I could tackle it too. He's just, every time something happens, he's jumping up. MSNBC, y'all need somebody for primetime who's black. Call me. He's so desperate right now. I mean, he's sitting up there in the house. That curl is dry. He's begging for a job. It's so shameless right now. He's begging. He's begging on his big chunky fucking knees for employment. Do we need a GoFundMe for this nigga? It's sad. I almost feel bad the way this nigga's begging for a job. He's so desperate. My God. Can somebody send him some little pink oil moisturizer and a little care package? He's struggling. Good Lord. This dude is so desperate right now. This is why, man, don't listen to all these Negroes who's working for the Democrats or who's trying to get jobs. They're not going to tell you what you need to know. See, this is why we're telling you what you need to know. Don't fuck with them. I can tell you that, because the last thing on earth I want is a job from any of them people. The last thing I want is a goddamn job. So I can tell you the truth. I don't give a fuck about none of them. Don't like none of them. Don't care about none of them. The Democrats ain't shit, just like the Republicans ain't shit. So I'm going to tell you the real deal about all of them. This is all about power. This is all about us getting our power. You understand? This is all about us staying on code about what we need to do. Because, see, we got to understand, these people at war with us. Did y'all see the video in New York? There was a video in New York where they ran up on this brother. He was at a park somewhere in New York, and the cops just ran up on this brother and just started beating him up. They ran up on this brother and just started beating this brother up for no reason. They wouldn't even tell him why they were beating him up. They weren't even telling the brother why they beat him up. They just jumped this brother. Let me tell you something. They don't do that to white. I mean, they do not do this to white people. You know why they don't do this to white people? Because white people, they retaliate. This is what I can respect about white society. If you sit up there, if police officers were beating up white teenagers, white people would start ambushing them damn cops. White people would mount up just like the Cliven Bundys and all these people did. They ain't gonna take that shit. I can respect that. These people say, oh, hell no. Liberty and freedom or death. we'll risk our lives to not be treated like that. I can respect that. That's one thing I can respect about the Cliven Bundys and all these white militia groups. They're like, we're not going to let you do that to us. We'll put that shit, our lives on the line for that. You ain't going to do that in a million years to us. We'll start ambushing your ass. They know better. And we got to understand this. A lot of this shit that we see, when we see a lot of so-called black crimes, we got to look and see who these Negroes are. There was a dude named Kenyell Brown who killed a lot of people in Detroit recently. Where are my Detroit people? It was a nigga named Kenyell Brown. He killed a few people. And I think he was on some kind of police chase or whatever. And come to find out, this nigga was a federal informant. This nigga worked as a federal informant. And he's out here killing people. You watch these niggas, man. Some of these niggas who's out here shooting up everybody. A lot of these niggas be working for the feds, man. A lot of these niggas, you look at their background, there's always some type of informant paperwork on them, just like with Nipsey's killer, that Eric Holder guy. He's doing a murder like this, and he got informant paperwork all over the place. These are niggas that they set out in our communities and start doing all of this shit. A lot of stuff that happens in our community, we got to understand that the white supremacists, they orchestrate and allow it. Let's go to Milwaukee for a minute. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer. Y'all remember the white serial killer, Jeffrey Dahmer? Let me tell y'all something. With Jeffrey Dahmer, when you look at that case, I think the police were very well aware of what he was doing. They just turned a blind eye to it and allowed it to go on. The same way they let Ed Buck do what he did. Understand, family, people knew what the fuck Ed Buck was doing. All them dead black bodies coming out of Ed Buck's house. Notice how they acted dumb, all the white supremacists and all the authorities acted dumb about Ed Buck. And black folks are like, hey, man, y'all not going to do nothing about all these dead black bodies? Y'all not going to do nothing? And Ed Buck is in jail. Now, he's not in jail for the murders, guys. Ed Buck is not in jail for killing all those black dudes. They got him in there for some bullshit drug, having meth or some bullshit. So they knew what Ed Buck was doing. They knew Jeffrey Dahmer was doing all that stuff, guys. They knew it. When I look at stuff about Jeffrey Dahmer now, they try to talk like he was some type of criminal mastermind. Jeffrey Dahmer was not a criminal mastermind. They try to talk like he was a savvy killer who got away with it because he was so cunning for so long. That's bullshit. Jeffrey Dahmer was not no savvy, intellectually cunning killer. He wasn't. He kept dead niggas in his fucking refrigerator. That's not no cunning, manipulative mastermind. Y'all just didn't bother to look. That's it. He used his whiteness. He moved into a black neighborhood and he did it because he knew he could get away with killing niggas and nobody is going to check on him. That's all it was. He wasn't no fucking mastermind. He had dead niggas all up in his fucking refrigerator by the mayonnaise and the juice. All you had to do was look in that nigga's refrigerator and see the dead bodies. Nobody bothered to look. They always try to make white killers, oh, they're deep. Just like those TV shows, that Netflix show, the show You, they are. And what was that other show? It was another show about another white killer who worked as a coroner or something. Dexter. They always got these shows where the white killers are so smart and they're just so cunning and they're such intellectually superior with their murder. No, they're not. They use their whiteness because white people stay on code with each other. Ted Bundy and all these people. Yeah. No. They always try to make white killers seem like they did it because they got away. They were just so smart. No, you were just so white. You were just so white. There was nothing intellectual about Jeffrey Dahmer. Dude, the black people in the neighborhood, they were telling the police something was going on with Jeffrey Dahmer. In fact, there was one sister, one of his victims ran out of the house. Some sisters in the neighborhood confronted Jeffrey, and they called the police. They were about to whoop Jeffrey's ass. The police came and told the sisters to bounce. The police went up in the house, took the boy back up there, and Jeffrey ate the fucking dude. Killed him, dismembered him, and ate him. Let me play something for y'all. This is an old clip. Hold on, let me find this clip. Of this sister in Milwaukee back in the early 90s. Hold on one second. Well, she's talking about confronting Jeffrey Dahmer. So, hold on, where is this clip? Come on, clip. Hold on, where is it? Okay, listen to this.
That's when Tina Spively says she and her friend saw Conrad Sintesen phone stumble and fall onto State Street. They ran up to him and noticed that he was bleeding from behind, and he appeared to be drugged at that time as well. That's allegedly when Jeffrey Dahmer grabbed at the boy, and Tina says she confronted him.
I was right up on him. I'm trying to threaten him, to let him go. We're like, we're going to bust you in your stuff. Turn him loose. He don't want to be with you. Leave him alone. And then my cousin's like, just get out of it. It's none of your business. I said, but still, he needs help. I said, look, I'm doing like they gave him some dope or something.
Spivey's friend called police. By the time they arrived, Dahmer had allegedly carried Sintesen phone to this alley just off the 25th and State. But Spivey says the two officers quickly asked them to leave.
Yeah, so the officers, people knew. So yeah, the police knew. The black folks, and I'm just playing that clip to let you know, the black people then, just like with Ed Buck, the black people were telling the damn police, hey man, this Jeffrey Dahmer dude is drugging. He's doing shit to people. Y'all need to watch this dude. And the police was telling niggas to shut the fuck up and get out of here. Same thing with Ed Buck. They knew what Jeffrey was doing. They knew. They just turned a blind eye to it. They knew good and well what he was doing. And I want to know how far up to the top that went. Letting him get in the neighborhood and letting him kill off all those black people like that. See, we got to watch that stuff when large numbers of black people get killed. Dr. Welsing talked about Jonestown, Guyana, with Jim Jones, the evil white minister up there in the Bay Area who took all those black folks out there to South America and killed them, had them do that mass suicide. Dr. Welsing said, we need to ask if the government was involved in that type of shit. You understand? We got to ask questions about that type of stuff. Yeah, over 900 people died. So, yeah, we got to question everything, dude. We don't trust nothing that they tell us or that they present to us. And when they start telling us all these people were evil geniuses, no, they're not. They use their whiteness to get away with stuff against us. They don't get investigated. They turn a blind eye to these people. That's all they do. They turn a blind eye. That Jim Jones dude, they knew what he was doing. He was conning people out of their damn welfare checks. He was doing all types of shit. But I digress. Anyway, y'all, we had a great show today. Boy, we talked about a lot of shit today. Boy, we've been on here for a minute. Anyway, guys, look. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And also, you can get the 1804 Haiti DVD. Also, we're doing a Mink Slide video next weekend. All my LA people, hit me up, email me. We're gonna have to screen some of y'all. I need my dancers, my street dancers. Ladies, we need some fly ladies to be in it. Y'all email me, we'll get you down, we'll get you in it. Hit me up, let's chop it up. info@TariqElite.com. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And I'm going to holla.